pale horse. The man who sat on him was death.
And hell followed with him.
You're killing me, man.
Hello and welcome to Declarations of War. I am your host, Alexei Avkard, joined tonight by no one. This is a first ever solo edition of the Declarations of War podcast. Our co-hosts, Andy Astronaut and Artemis Albosa and Lave, could not be here. Lave, of course, working very hard with COVID and also his new kids. And, Artemis just had something come up last minute. Andy, had a long-anticipated vacation. He'll be back on Monday, but we could not postpone this. Normally, when this would come up, I would just kick the recording back a weekend or 2 weeks or what have you. But I'm not able to do that this time for a reason I will announce at the end of the show, a very big announcement for Declarations of War, something I've been getting a lot of questions about. But before we do that, let's hop into our two top stories. Well, two and a half. One is the big World War B2 update, and the half is Norse participation in it. And the second story is the disbanding of Praviblok. Now, the World War B situation is unfolding fairly rapidly, and I guess more or less expected if you were on the test and Pandemic Legion and fraternity side. This is going very well for you. Legacy and Panda Fam are doing fairly well in the fight. It hasn't been a total smash by any means. Goons and Imperium have been defending several timers. And, they've had some fleet fight, like ISK wins. They've had some objective wins. However, the sheer volume of timers they are facing is absolutely insane, and they are clearly struggling at keeping up this two-front war, as both Fountain and Quirius are beginning to fall. As we mentioned in previous episodes, and of course in my Geography and Geopolitics video, these were kind of the risky areas. These are the areas where attackers would look to apply pressure. Period Basis, which is their other not-delve region, is relatively stable. They've been able to do well there. Their counteroffensive into Paragon Sol has not done so well. It's basically stalled. And they've been on the back foot for the past couple weeks. Now, like I said, it's not a rout by any means. They're definitely in this fight. They're still forming good numbers. They're still occasionally winning fights. But they are losing important objectives now, and their attackers are beginning to gain ground, gain valuable beachhead-type systems. And in particular, in Quirius, most of that region has begun to fall. There's a bit of a meme going around that these are floodplains regions, which I think is kind of funny. I don't know if that's way to describe your allies and neighbors' holdings, but basically it's like the collapse crumple zone of a car, another meme that was on Reddit. The idea being they could afford to lose Quirius, potentially even could afford to lose Fountain and still be okay. For Quirius, I think that's true. For Fountain, I'm less sure. Certainly in previous wars, taking Quirius and taking Fountain have not necessarily been indicative of an overall victory. But certainly in a Fountain case, you're looking at a scenario where Fountain is home to the Initiative, the most competent alliance in the coalition. And there's been an extreme amount of propaganda pressure on Reddit and other media that, goons are not providing them enough support, that Initiative would be better off without them, we'd be better off switching sides, etc., etc., etc. Trying to drive a wedge between Goonswarm and their most valuable allies. There are so far no indications that that particular effort is succeeding at all. However, it is there, and there's always that possibility that if enough pressure is applied to Initiative and they don't feel properly supported, that they could, even if they just abandon the fight entirely, not necessarily switch sides, it would be devastating for the Imperium, and they would effectively lose the war. Which they might anyway, But at least at this point, I would say it is too early to tell. Now, Noir has been involved in a lot of these fights. Well, I don't say a lot of the fights, but we've been involved in the campaign. If you've been listening to the podcast, you'll know that we've been working essentially in the build-up to this war ever since February. We've been attacking Pure Blind. We've been attacking Cloud Ring. We've been attacking Fountain. Just slowly working our way down the map, hitting jump bridges, harassing Ratters, just laying the groundwork for the northwestern part of this offensive. And so far that's done very well. Ultimately, this culminated with us attacking the jump bridge I-hubs, which we talked about a bit ago. And we got another contract to hit the I-hub in B-D, which was one of the final initiative strongholds in Cloud Ring. It was a pretty spirited fight. Initiative did show up with a few defenders to try to kick us off those nodes. But at the end of the day, Noir emerged victorious, and we were able to not only take out the I-hub, but anchor a replacement so that Imperium or Imperium-sympathizing alliances could not put it down. So we are currently, like, holding, quote-unquote, that system. We're not doing anything with it. We've already been SRP'd for the I-hub, so we don't care if it dies. But it is there, and it's doing its job at the moment. And I think at this point, if it were to pop tomorrow, it would be objective accomplished, mission accomplished. So pretty proud of that. Great work from our iHub team, everybody that was involved in the initial Entosis-ing and the node fights, the logistics of moving the replacement in and all that stuff. Really wonderful. We are currently on contract in the thick of it down in Delve. We are somewhat centrally located, so we can theoretically get to any of the major fights that are going down. However, they've been a bit inaccessible due to some standings and just fleet size reasons. You know, when our best fleet is 5 to 10 people, and fleets are rolling around with 100, 200, 300, and multiple fleets of those sizes, it's a little hard for us to jump in. But we've been able to join in on some fleets from Pandemic Horde, NC Dot, guys like that. We are generally working anti-Imperium right now for at least the duration of our current contract. We are not specifically wed to that, so you guys might hear that we've switched, you know, in a future episode, and that's cool. As you guys know, we're mercenaries. We're going to fight whoever is paying our bills. And right now, that is anti-Imperium forces. So that's what we're doing. We've been spending a lot of our time in Delve just roaming around, trying to pick off Ratters, pick off miners. Not much luck hitting the mining fleets, but we've pulled down quite a few Ratters. Picked off a lot of replacement Dictors and pods and other ships trying to make it to the front lines. And it's been fun. It's been an interesting challenge. A lot of these tie-dye fights are not as fun as advertised, if you ask me, so I'm not terribly sad about missing out on some of them. But we'll see how it goes. We're down there for at least another week, and hopefully the conflict will continue onward past that, and we'll continue to be a part of it. We've got another contract lined up as soon as it's done, so we'll give you the update on that as well. Possibly not in the next episode, because I assume we'll still be doing fighting down here, but in time, we have a new contract, new region, something new to talk about, a place we haven't been in a while. So that'll be some interesting content for the podcast coming up. If you want to get more World War B2 news, I suggest you check out somethingyoushouldknow.substack.com. It is a blog hosted by January Valentine, which frequently posts updates on a lot of World War B2 type content. Last post was a while ago, admittedly, July 11th, but if you want to catch the early part of the war at least, it's extremely, extremely good in terms of its accuracy and its content. Excuse me, July 15th. So she hasn't posted in a while, but the write-ups are fantastic. Really takes you through the first week of the war. Almost as if you were there. It gets all the AARs together, all the strategic perspectives together. And for the current stuff, just hop onto the Eve Reddit. It's pretty much anything everyone is talking about. Or everything anyone is talking about, I guess is how you would say it. Talk of the town. Switching gears into Providence, kind of a solemn note on the Providence News here. Pravi Block, in its current formation, is disbanding. This is somewhat unique, at least since I've been playing, where they haven't really been forced out of Providence yet, but the leaders of Providence, particularly EQ, Equinox, he has kind of read the tea leaves, seen the writing on the wall. Apparently CVA is no longer able to form large fleets, basically almost getting fleet sizes like we would get for their defensive timers, which is not great when you're talking about a coalition of hundreds or thousands of players. And feels like, you know, either some key players or key alliances or key corporations were thinking of leaving anyway. And they just can't do it anymore. So rather than, you know, fight to the last ship, they're making the strategic decision to pull up, pull out. They signed a non-invasion pact with Wrecking Crew for about 2 weeks. That'll give them a little bit of breathing room to evac. But it's a big deal. They retook Providence in 2010. Mar was involved in both kicking them out and getting them back in. We feel like we've been very intimately involved in a lot of the history of Providence over the past 10 to 15 years. And it's kind of hard to imagine Pravi without Pravi Block. Obviously, we've seen it. We've been a part of it. We've held Sov in Providence at one point. But it didn't last that long, and they were eventually able to come back. We gave them their first Sov, as some of the local alliances that we were living next to, we got where they were trying to backstab us and swap us out with another alliance that was a little more loyal to them as opposed to us loyal to some of the other alliances in the region. And we're like, well, we're not going to let you do that, so if we can't beat you in this other alliance that you brought in at like all at once, and AAA is not around to back us up, well, Pravi, here you go. If we can't have it, you might as well. And from that little beachhead, they wound up retaking the entire region and reestablishing Pravi for another decade. But now they're pulling out. And it seems like unlike the last time, a lot of the alliances are going their separate ways. So we'll see CVA do something. We'll see Severance do something else. We'll see Apocalypse Now do something else. Not all of the alliances necessarily know what that's going to be yet. It's conceivable they may go to LoSec. They may go to NullSec in a different area. I think, long term, I have a difficult time imagining CVA will not look to return to Providence at some point. But certainly for right now, it's over for them. You'll start to see more Sov drop in the next couple weeks. And then we'll see what Providence looks like after that. I assume some Wrecking Crew alliances will seek to expand their holdings. And we may get new alliances, new faces popping in. There could be some holdovers, Pravi Block alliances that refuse to leave. It's definitely going to remain a very interesting content-driven region. Our Fort Azar is still up there, so there will be at least one free port in the region. So if there are neutrals or, you know, people that want a day trip to Pravi, you've got a place to dock, you've got a place to jump clone to, you've got a place to buy and store ships. So I think that will continue to be an important dynamic in Pravi. But as far as the rest of its future, we just don't know. It's going to be something that we're going to keep an eye on and we're going to keep reporting on. I kind of wish that we were able to get involved in a little more of the shooty-shooty of some of the retreating ships, but it is what it is. We're having a good time in World War B, which is obviously, if you look at the wider EVE meta, probably the more important place to be. But I do look forward to going back to Providence at some point and trying to make our mark in the new region somehow. That's kind of the place that we spend our time in between contracts, and that's something I've always felt a long-standing connection to. Providence and Syndicate have been two regions which I've come back to time and time again, either with Noir or with other corporations that I've been a part of. So it'll be interesting. We're going to be crafting a new chapter in Providence history together, and we're going to be bringing it all to you here in the show. And I want to give tons and tons and tons of credit to Pravi Block I don't agree with, you know, how they want to play the game. I don't agree with a lot of the decisions their leadership's made. You know, they've tolerated a lot of toxicity within their alliance that's come to light in recent months, and I definitely can endorse that. But the fact remains, they were excellent opponents with a lot of steadfastness, a lot of courage in the face of overwhelming odds, where they continually get beat down by alliances that are, frankly, much better at the game than they are, with bigger numbers and more equipment and everything like that. But they never gave up. They kept fighting for 10 years, and for the past, I would say, at least 2 years, probably more, they have been facing essentially a daily war. Very few days of no timers for them in that entire period. But they, for the most part, held their ground. They lost one constellation in that entire time. That's absolutely insane. There just isn't another coalition in the game that has been able to replicate that level of determination, that level of successful defense over such a long period of time. So, major props to them. They have nothing to be ashamed about in terms of their effort. I think, you know, if you look strategically, it's probably a good decision by EQ to go, okay, we can't defend this anymore. It's done. It's not going to turn around for us. We can either sit there and be miserable and watch everything we worked for slowly die, or we can close this chapter and move on and, you know, maintain our friendships and communities, but find something else to do in the game that's a bit more realistic for us. Reconnect with what's fun and then go from there and see where things go. So I just want to tip my hat to them. I wish them all the best of luck. Hopefully one or two of the corps or people will decide to join coalitions we're with so we can continue to fly with them, or coalitions we fight so we can start shooting them. And I would just throw it out there, if anyone listening to this broadcast is in Providence or knows people that are, they're more than welcome to join NAR as well. We'd be happy to have you or your corporations. And with that, I guess it's time for the announcement. Boy, this thing goes really fast when you don't have co-hosts. And I wouldn't want to subject you guys to my voice for longer than is absolutely necessary. But the reason we couldn't skip this recording, the reason why there could be no, oh, we'll just do it in 2 weeks, is we are building up to the 200th episode of Declarations of War. That's right. Episode 200, and of course, we are doing something special for the bicentennial. We are arranging a special broadcast August 22nd. Currently scheduled for 2100, but that might change slightly. Could go 22, something like that. But I'll put out more firm details about a week before. But it will be the roast of Alexei of Card. That's right. I am getting my comeuppance. The other Declarations of War hosts and some of the folks that I've known and Eve for a long time that have appeared as guests or co-hosts on this show will be returning to let me have it, to break me down into my most basic parts, and then kick me so I can't get back together. It should be a brilliant time. Nydia will be there. Brisk Rubal will be there. We're trying to get a few more names as well. Those two, I feel, are pretty confirmed. Andy and Artemis will both be there. We're trying to get Lave. I think Lave's a pretty solid bet as well. More names will be announced. It's going to be fun. It's going to be broadcast live, but it will also be put out as a podcast and a YouTube video, so you are definitely not going to miss it unless you decide not to watch it, and if you're making that decision, make better decisions. It's going to be absolutely ridiculous, absolutely crazy, offensive, off the wall. You're not going to want to miss it if you've been a fan of this show for any length of time. So, with that, I will bid you all adieu. This has been Alexei of Card for Declarations of War. As always, you can vote in our show poll. I guess we probably won't have a poll, but hopefully you'll make the decision to join us on the 22nd. And If you're at all thinking of joining Noir to participate in World War B, or the many contracts that are to come, or the rebuilding and reshaping of Providence that is to come, you know, we are accepting recruits. We have Noir for experienced pilots. We have Noir Academy for less experienced pilots. We have the Network, which is our alliance that I'm now actively trying to expand to bring in a second powerhouse corporation. And I feel like there are good things in store for the future of the game. So I'm very excited by everything that's going on. I'm excited about what happens next. I hope you are too. And I hope you continue tuning into Declarations of War to find out all about it. So hit us up. Cafe Noir Dot is the channel in-game. You can also message Alexei Card, and I'll be happy to chat you up and provide you more information about Noir and mercenary life in general. And whichever side you are on in this conflict, and if you're in Providence, wherever you go next, wherever you are in Eve at all, good hunting, listeners.